You are locked to The Edge 105.1 and 105.3 FM. It is Monday and this is High Frequency. It's me. I'm here. I'm Elaine. I'm with you. And who else is with me? My second guest of the day. I am so excited to welcome Reggae Royalty really to the station because this young man is a member of a family that is super talented, beautiful, inspired, and just shining such a bright light on the world. Welcome to The Edge 105 FM, Kez Namdi.
Yeah.
Wagwan.
Yeah, man.
How you doing? How are you?
My day, man, we give thanks, you know, we just try to keep the ball rolling during these unprecedented times, you know?
Which is so today, right.
Yeah.
You have to keep the ball rolling. It's very interesting that you use that because I know, say, you love football growing up as a little boy.
Yeah. You know, yo, football is my analogy for life with everything, you know? So, yeah.
It makes sense. Yeah, it makes sense. It can apply to everything. Yeah. Strategy, knowing when to stop, when to go, when you're going to go for the goal.
When to attack, when to defend. You know,
I definitely love this. So good.
Yeah.
It is so true. Now, how is it? Now, you grew up in a house with only, your father was there, and I see how powerful his energy was in making you the man that you are today. And I'd love to speak about that because of the importance of positive male role models. And he definitely was one for you. But you grew up around sisters, feminine energy.
Yes.
Now, tell me how that was growing up.
Well, you know, you get spoiled, kind of, you know, because you're the only boy, so certain things, like, for instance, I remember growing up where all my sisters, all of us had one room upstairs before we did really expand the house and thing, and all of us were in one room, and then when we got another room, I was the first choice to get the next room, because my father never want me being in one room with a bag of girls, and he just want me as a boy. So, you know, we used to get them kind of special kind of treatment. But again, you know, growing up around a lot of powerful women, you know, from my mother, come right down to my little sister, Kadia, Camila McDonald, Kelissa, singer, Kiman, you know, so it was a great, you know, close-knit family. And, you know, it was a lot of pressure on me on the education side, because everybody was doing
brilliant,
so well in the education field, and school never wasn't really an interest for me, and I wasn't really driven. So every day when everybody bring home them reports, you know what I mean, my report don't look as good as Camila own or Kimani own, you know. So, you know, so we did have no pressure there, but again, you know, it definitely show you and make you have a different level of understanding and overstanding for women on a whole, you know, and a different level of respect, because you're hearing the other side of the story a lot of times, you know, with whether you're hearing a little relationship problems, what my sister's going through.
Right.
Or, you know, just seeing how powerful also emotions can be, you know, because there's enough times where I would call them out and say, yo, you're too emotional, but then no, you get to see the other side. But emotions are also powerful and something that is important. You know what I mean?
So true.
Enough little code there where the average man now get, you know what I mean? We get to crack them code there from early on, you know?
Yes. I love that. And now, what does your name mean, Kez Namdi?
Kez Namdi means the son who saved his father's name. So it's actually two names joined into one. So you have Kez, which means the prince or the priest, and it comes from Ethiopia. And Namdi comes from Nigeria, and it means the son who saved his father's name. So it's kind of like parents put it together as the prince who saved his father's name, and really being in a family where I'm the only boy,
right?
I'm the only one where I carry on my father. Line and name, if you want to call it like that.
I love that. Yeah. And I see recently that actually is what happened. Tell me about how that feels.
Really, yo, you know, being a new father, you know, my son, his name is Kesale.
And what does that mean?
January. Kesale means the crown prince. You know what I mean?
I love it.
Him come take over the crown prince, you know. So Yeah, it's a beautiful experience. And what's crazy is that during this whole Corona madness, we had because we just dropped the album, we
Bloodline,
had a full
yes.
leg of we had a full leg of summer tours that we were going to a bunch of festivals across the globe. And just looking at that now and knowing that, yo, we have no shows or nothing for the rest of the year, and just literally being at the house with the family every single day is like, I can't believe I was going to actually miss
these moments,
like the first smile, or you know, the first time him actually hold up his own head.
Oh wow.
When him making different sounds other than just crying, and just is a whole next level of existence, you know, on this earth. And I also feel like it really showed me how much, yo, really and truly, what we really work for is all about family, you know. Like,
so true.
That's the greatest accomplishment that you can have as a person is having a successful family, you know.
So true, so true. Yeah. And these moments you'll never get back. So you're finding the light.
Never.
You find the light in the darkness.
Yeah,
and yeah, man, and hold on to these moments. So powerful. Chaman, powerful. Yeah. Bloodline. Yeah. Bloodline. Yeah. So you move from Chakula to Kesnamdi. Remind me of your son's name again.
Kesale.
Kesale. Tell me about the importance of the bloodline.
Well, you know what's interesting is that when I came up with that name, it was really just a song that me and Martima had at the time.
Yes.
You know, and it was a song about parenting. And at that time, I didn't know I was going to become a father yet. And we were looking for a name for the album because this we're at the time where we're like, where we have the body at work and we see the album and we hear the song. What is the name now? And every day, I just think and I write down different notes and any kind of name that come up. And when Martima came and sang his part of the chorus, he used the word bloodline in there. And I felt like at the time, it was just a cool name. You know
yes.
what I mean? I'm going to say, yo, this, it just sound cool. It's very visual. I'm going to say, yo, bloodline. And also, I always believe that parenting is the biggest issue in society today, where, as we were saying before, most youth not grow up with them father. Most youth not grow up with their mother.
Yes.
You know, most youth not have that perfect balance there. And parenting is the basis of majority of the problems that we face in a society later on in the road. You know, and so that was another reason why I'm going to say, yo, bloodline, you know. And then, mystically, later down the line, we did have enough kind of dreams that did reveal enough things to me at the time, and it was very weird, you know. And then now, later on, my empress tells me, say, yo, we're going to have a youth, you know.
Oh,
and
wow.
It was just crazy. And even more deeper, the set release, when I actually finished the album, was the due date of the youth, which was the due date that we had was January 20th.
Yes.
And that's when I officially walked out of the studio and said, all right, the album done. This is it.
Oh, my goodness.
And that was on January 20th. And then, no, him did actually born January 23rd. So, enough little mystical mystery.
Divine, yes.
The album, and it's like crazy for no one say, yo, Bloodline end up become the name before even knowing that I was going to be a father, you know.
This is a movie. This is a movie. This is the album Bloodline. I am speaking with the multi-talented singer-songwriter Kesnamdi. Father, let us take a listen to Bloodline from his latest release. This is The Edge 105.1. Kesnamdi, don't go anywhere. We have more to talk about.
I'll be here by your side. I'll comfort and protect you. I'll teach you what is right. A new day has arrived. Real love can't deny my DNA in your bloodline. A new soul that shall we guide.
We're talking about responsibilities. We're talking about recreation after school activities. We're talking about building them talents and abilities. Talking about nursing school to graduating colleges. Being there no matter what it is. Through the rough times and the challenges. Them need your full attention. Can't just be focused.
side. I'll comfort and protect you. I'll teach you what is right. A new day has arrived. Real love can't deny. My DNA in your bloodline and your soul. It's our God.
Sharing, appearance job is wearing, protecting and preparing. Young girl, what you wearing? Young boy, stop the swearing. Cowards disappearing, never you ignore them. Never reassuring, in danger you securing. Keep the fire burning, teaching and we learning. From day to day observing, an everlasting journey. So make sure that you're worthy when your life is emerging. What is right? A new day has arrived. Real love can't deny. My DNA in your bloodline and your soul. It's your God.
We are absolutely loving that song, Bloodline by Kez Namdi, featuring Mortimer. You are locked to The Edge 105 FM. Kez Namdi, you still there?
You're there, right? Just I'm not going away.
Look here, no man.
Edge, you know?
Oh, which is right?
Edge on the seat.
I love it. No, the song Body, 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 Bud. Yeah. Like, it's goose pimple music. Music that you can feel. Yeah, how important is it? Oh, you're welcome. And but I feel that way about most of your music. I am a Kez Namdi fan, unapologetically. So
it means a lot coming from one of my favorite singers.
Oh, gosh, man. So, oh, my gosh. Know. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. So tell me about the process of creating the album. How long did it take? Tell me about some of your favorite tracks. Let's just talk about it.
You know, this project was like an on and off thing because I never want the inspiration be something that I'm forcing or trying to meet a deadline or
right.
nothing. So it was all of these songs were when I was really inspired. So anytime I wasn't inspired or nothing, I just put it down. Like there was times where I literally parked the album for like 2 months, you know what I mean, or 3 months, and then maybe we catch a little inspiration, and it was, and then we just go into the studio and we knock out two songs or what, but. Majority of this album was also recorded while we were on the road, you know, because during this time we were doing a lot of touring, so it was really cool because we went in very, like, special, unique cities that had very renowned studios where the organs was very special there, or the roads was there, or somebody with a violin. So we were able to, like, record in very famous and renowned studios all around the world, literally, you know, but for the basis of it, a lot of these ideas started on the guitar just at home, up a skyline, and then that's usually how most of my songs start out, you know, where it begin there, and you know, there's a lot of talented musicians and a lot of producers that came in and brought their genius on it as well, like Tuko, Mazaya, you know, we have obviously I produced like 90% of the stuff on it as well. But yeah, that is how enough of the music was created, and
so it wasn't rushed.
It was the first, no, definitely not. It wasn't a timeline thing, which was very hard to do because there was many times that, because it was like we did like 20 songs, and out of the 20 songs we chose like 11, you know.
Wow.
So
wow.
It was very hard because there was many times where the team was hearing the body of work already, but it really want to make sure that, you know, that with my first album, we did really want to bring something to the table in terms of a sound. You know, like, I feel like early out in my music journey, like, I was doing a lot of experimenting with my sound. And, like, who am I as a musician? What me bring to the table where a next youth who is probably 16 years old can hear this and go crazy over it?
And who did you listen to, you and know, said, this is what I want to do?
Yo, Damian Marley was my one of my biggest inspirations growing up. Where I remember him was one of them man that when we did him did make me want the music, you know, and then we could have relate to him story a lot. You know, and obviously, you know, we listen to a lot of hip hop. We listen to a lot of dancehall music. You know, we listen to, obviously, you know, like from an early out, you know, I've always been on a search for music, no matter what. Like that's not even a hobby for me. It's like a profession for me to listen to new music and listen to. I like to listen to a lot of music that I've never heard before. So when people ask me like, what you listen to in your past, it's not just as easy as saying, you know, like, yo, me listen to Sade or me listen to. Or me listen, you know, so...
Right, it's a lot of artists from different genres and all of that.
Yeah, and then also being in a situation where we grew up in Jamaica, you know, we left Jamaica when I was about 30, like after second form, we leave Jamaica and we moved to Tanzania and we lived there for like 3 years. That's in Eastern Africa for a lot of people who don't even know who Tanzania... Where you know Tanzania, Mambo VP.
Yes, you know, exactly.
You know Tanzania and Kenya,
yes.
That's a year place.
Yes, thank God.
And then we lived in Ethiopia for 3 years and then we moved to the States to go school out here. So because of that, you know, we've been exposed to a lot of different cultures and musics from... You don't know Bongo Flavor and all of that.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Where, you know what I mean? It's a whole next side of music where a lot of people don't get to hear. So we've been exposed to a lot of different genres of music growing up, you know. And then obviously being at home and my parents being musical.
Exactly. Chakula, you know, like, yes. Yes. Goldilocks, yes. Yes.
You know? So we've been in the household, it was always rich music played in the house, high standard of music. So, yeah. So that's some of our influences, you know.
I love that, and I love that because it is a worldwide flavor that you bring to your offering, and it is yours based on your experience. Now, I saw a post that you made on Instagram, and I had to stop and inhale and exhale deeply because you spoke about what is going on currently with racial injustice around the world and how the whole world is standing up and really, you know, saying this cannot continue. And you had a very, very interesting spin that you put on it based on your experience. Talk about it. Tell the listeners what you said, because I thought it was very deep.
I think for the most part, you know, Caribbean people don't really experience racism, but we don't experience it on the same level where people from in the U.S. feel it. I think racism in the U.S. is a whole different ballgame.
Yes.
You know, everybody experiences racism globally. That's a fact.
Right.
We're not taking away from that. But racism in the U.S. goes very deep and very deep. And anyway, the point what I was trying to make on Instagram was that, you know, race is really an illusion and we create it in the mind. And it's so real today because it's so real in our minds, you know. And I was just... being somebody who is very triggered and inspired and seeing all of these things that's happening in the world at this current moment is just crazy to me how much it is so real because it's in our mind. And my point is that we have to change it within our mind and a revolution have to start within ourselves.
Love that.
Because if it don't start there, we're going to end up march again. We're going to end up have to do some big million man march again. And we're going to continue this because it really starts within our hearts. And
absolutely.
For me, I had a very unique experience with race. You know, I remember growing up and wanting to be either full white or full black, where it would be just very easy for me to understand who am I as a person, you know. And growing up in a place where, and a lot of Jamaicans experience this because our mother is out of many one people.
Right.
You know what I mean? When we think about the history of Jamaica, where you had the Arawaks and the natives on the land first. And then you had all the slaves from West Africa forward over. And then you had the Spanish and the English who came. And then after that, now after slavery was abolished, then you had the Chinese and the Indians who came to Jamaica for the cheap labor. So look how much different people bungle up in a one place. You know what I mean? So a lot of Jamaicans can feel that feeling where you have a Chinese mixed with a black person or a Indian mixed with a white person and it's just the bloodline goes so deep. So for me, not for the time like when I'm filling out passports, information and stuff, it tell you click your race, and I'm doing that right now, and I always have to click other, because yes. You can't, there's no space for me in other words, because I come from a mixed racial and ethnicity family, you know what
yes,
I mean?
Yes, yes.
So, what, and so being in Jamaica, them call me half-caste, or them call me brown,
right.
Or eye complexion, you know what I mean? And obviously, because of that, you have a lot of access to a lot of privilege compared to the other regular person. But what is interesting is that because we was a Rasta, me still know what discrimination really feel like, because
yes.
I know what it feel like for a Christian woman to look at you in disgust,
wow.
You know what I mean, because you is a Rasta. Or so it was interesting because we had that privilege, yes, but also it went only that far. Because
wow.
In those days, it wasn't like nowadays, well, it's cool to be a Rasta now. It wasn't cool to be a Rasta growing up. I remember I never got to Woolmans. When I got accepted to Woolmans, the first 2 weeks, I didn't go to school because they wanted to trim my lock.
Oh, my God.
And my mother had to go down to the Ministry of Education to argue that, no, this is our culture. This is who we are. We can't trim our lock, you know what I mean? And then, no. That was kind of my experience in Jamaica as a brown youth. I grew up,
yes.
And how in Jamaica color is more associated with class. You know what I mean? So
yes.
And it's very funny too. It's not that when people bleach them skin, it's not that them a bleach them skin to be white. You know, them a bleach them skin to be brown. You
wow.
know, there's a very interesting and it's very complex this idea and this thing called race. And then now when I moved to Africa, I was considered a European.
Oh, wow.
You know what I mean? Many people would refer to me as Mzungu. Mzungu means European.
Mzungu,
that,
yes.
That word. And then, moving to the U.S. now, them consider me as a black.
You're black, yes.
You, you have one tooth.
One
black,
you are fully black,
one
yes.
Little, you're fully black, you know? So, you know, growing up, you know, it was very hard to find my identity. Lucky thing we did have parents who were revolutionaries and,
yes.
And was very like strict about them thing that, you know what I mean, and knowing who you are, or at least I feel like I wouldn't have a grasp of who I am. And then that's when I started to understand myself, is when I started to associate myself with my soul and my heart and my mind and not my skin color.
That's,
you know,
so
what I mean?
Good.
That's where the revolution begins. And it's not an easy thing. It's not like you can just get up and just say, all right, no, yeah, me, I'm done with this color thing, because it's still real. Because no matter what, yeah, me can say this and that and thing, because it's easier for me to say, because my skin color lighter than the next man. But at the end of the day, no matter what, even if you start a revolution with your mind, the world still have extreme racism in it. So even if you go down in the supermarket, you put dead a good in your mind, at the end of the day, you still get discriminated against, you know?
True.
So it's a very complex thing, and that was my reasoning to share my experience. Because you know, go see a white dog look on a black dog and say, yo, who is you? You know what I mean? Because them not, nature does not see color. Nature more, a dog we might more look on a little poodle might look on a German Shepherd, and is more a different species.
Yes.
You know
yes.
what I mean?
I run
that's
from it quite bigger than you.
The dog world.
Right.
You know what I mean? But nature don't look at race. You know what I mean? They more look at species. So it shows you that anytime me feel a little bit confused in the earth, I always look at how the universe works. And the universe don't function on race, which shows you that race was created by a set of white man to make sure say, it was more of a thing, an agenda that was created that them can get power and greed. It's based on power and greed, you know what I mean? And that's what it was created to divide and conquer. Because look at this. Look at the one time that we united. It's such a beautiful thing now for say, the first time a march like this and protesting going on like this on a global level, that all walks of life are out there. And it's a beautiful thing to see that. And then the changes that we have made in the space of 3 weeks have been much more than in the span of 600 years. And that is because we are a little bit, just a little bit more united.
Yes.
And we're not even united to fully, but just a little bit more. So we have to understand that race is in the mind. And the mind is a powerful thing, because everything starts with a thought. Your idea of collaborating with this EDGE program it started out in your mind, and now it manifests into the real world where me and you are having your interview now. So that for sure you how powerful your mind is, because
absolutely,
your mind first.
Thoughts become things. We say it all the time. It is so true. And we will get victory when we know that. You see, you see what I did there, right? You see what I did there, right?
Yes. Professional.
Come on now. We will get victory and be victorious when we recognize the power of our minds and use those thoughts to lift us to a higher frequency and to cause freedom. You say you see yourself as a free man. That is what we are. Free to choose, free to act, free to think, and to be persistent about success. Now, how can people get the album, Kez? Kez, are you still
there?
Okay, everywhere, yes.
Are you hearing me?
Yeah, man, I hear you now.
Everywhere and anywhere.
Yes.
You just have to type in Kez Namdi, KEZNAMDI, on any platform that you use, whether it's iTunes, whether it's Spotify, whether Instagram, whatever you use. So
excellent.
Just follow the journey and come enjoy the journey.
We
but
will.
You don't know, victory.
Victory all day, every day. And that is how we are ending the conversation. Kez Namdi, thank you so much for joining me. Bloodline, the album. Just spoke to super talented Kez Namdi. Enough love, my brother. Stay safe and healthy.
We are powered in on the studio too. Next time when
ready.
Things feel up,
ready. Let us do it.
A performance and enough of them nice things.
I love that. And we will be paying. Yeah, we will be watching. Enough love. Kez Namdi. This is
all
The
right.
Edge.
Enough love, Alan.
Bless you. 105.1 and 105.3 FM.